In the film Chariots of Fire, excerpts of which we've just watched, we see a metaphor for the Christian life, running the race in which we seek to run, the race marked out for us by Jesus. Paul, you were ordained in 1970. Just to make you feel really young, that's 6 years before I was even a twinkle in my daddy's eye. 44 years of Christian ministry, 44 Christmas carol services, 44 Easter Sunday morning services, 44 harvest services. I calculate over 2,000 sermons, and that's if you only preached once. And in the good old days, I know it was morning and evening. You know, as a church, as a family, we've come together today to say, well done, good and faithful servant. You've served us faithfully here at Central for 21 years, and you've served the wider Baptist family for nigh on half a century. Yet even as you enter your eighth decade, you seem so full of vitality. And many of us, I know when we were here, we're often overhear conversations that will say, how on earth does the man do it? How do you keep on going, serving, loving, year after year, decade after decade? Now, I need three volunteers to help unravel this passage this morning. Do I have three volunteers? Let me see. Dom, you can come. One of you three company boys I need, because I might damage you. You can pick. Thank you very much. And third one, a young lady. Yes, with the pink hairband. Yes, that's you. Up you come. Right, okay. Now, our verse for this morning is Hebrews 12, verse 1, next screen. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Well, I've brought my walking rucksack this morning. Your name, sir, is?
Mitch.
Mitch, do you want to put that on for me? It's, got one arm, got two arms. It's not at all heavy. Won't do you any harm at all there. Now, so you're going to be the things that hinder us. Now, the sin that so easily entangles us. Hands up. Right, let me see. This might take a moment or two. Sing amongst yourselves. Dom, can you give me a hand here around the legs? Tie your legs, yes, please. Because, you know, when you get involved in sin, it really does hamper you. There we are. Just pull that tight. No, not too tight. There we are. Put that over your shoulder. That should be fine. Okay. Now, Dom, you're my third person this morning. I'm not quite sure what I've got for you to wear. You can have that. No. Are you going to run like that?
I can run in my suit.
You can run in your suit. Okay. Are you sure? Have you got anything better you could wear? Hold on a second. Oh, my goodness. Now, this is where Dom is going to get undressed. And I'll tell you why. Because in ancient Rome, do you know what the runners used to run in? Anyone want to have a guess? Yes. No, they didn't run in armor. Anyone else? Yes? Nothing. Next screen. They run butt naked. Now, aren't you glad Paul wasn't a literalist? We could have had 21 very different years of ministry if he'd not interpreted that particular idea. Okay, now Paul's been in ministry 44 years. You have 1 second. 1 second for every year of Paul's ministry. You have got to run down there, up the middle aisle, through the back, down here, and you have to slap my hand as you run past, okay? Now, you are the great cloud of witnesses who are supposed to be cheering them on. So we've got Mitch, Dom, and?
Layla.
Right. Can we hear some cheering for Layla? Some cheering for Dom? Some cheering for Mitch? Now, I want to hear it at least. Imagine you're at the football match. Imagine you were at the rugby yesterday and willing France to score in that final few moments. Okay, that's the kind of level I want. Your 44 seconds, ladies, lady and gentlemen, start now. Go! Come on, cheer them on! Come on, Layla. No! You can't cheat, Layla, and get undressed. Come on, Dom! Oh, it's between Dom and Mitch. 15 seconds. Keep going. Oh, yeah, go on. There we are. Keep going. You've got to keep going.
Yeah.
25 seconds. What's happened to Layla? We've lost Layla somewhere else. Oh, we've got a casualty. Layla's been hurt along the way. Come on, Dom. We've got another 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Stop. Okay, give them all a round of applause. I guess it was quite hard with the backpack on, wasn't it? happen.
We broke Layla.
Well, that's what sin does to you. It brings about death. It stops you being able to run the race. And Mitch, I mean, you're a man in your youth, but clearly with the weight of things on your shoulders, it just was too much for you. What kind of things do you think hinder us? When St. Paul in that passage, or the writer to the Hebrews, said, let's throw off the things that hinder us, what kind of things do you think hinder us in running the race for Jesus? Yes. Sin, yeah, we're going to come on to that in a minute. It's a good answer. What kind of things hinder us? Hinder doesn't mean they're wrong. They're just things that sometimes get in the way. Actually, interestingly, in the Greek word translates probably slightly better as things that distract us. That might give you a clue. What kind of things distract you from your discipleship, from running the path for Jesus? I'll tell you one that distracts me. My iPad, playing chess. Play chess on my iPad, I waste far too much time. Anyone else? What kind of things hinder? Job. Yeah, sometimes job and the rules around the job make it very hard to run the race. Yes. Games, consoles, yes, that's absolutely. Anyone else? Yes, go on. Computer games. Yeah, can you see there's a theme running through this about screens? Okay, what about the sin that entangles us? What are the kind of things that get in the way that stop us running for Jesus? Come on, grown-ups. Be honest.
Greed,
absolutely. I want this. You know, the other things, other sins that get in the way? Yes, young lady. Yeah, the devil gets in the way. That's right, the devil doesn't want us to run. He wants us to run outside the lines. Jesus has got this path marked out for us, and the devil wants us to turn around, look over our shoulders, check what the other athletes are doing, all the kind of things that distract us. That's right, so we've got sin that entangles us and the things that hinder us. You know, the truth is, Paul, you've got a lovely house. You wear smart suits. You dress very dapperly. You enjoy the things of this world. But anyone who knows you or spends time with you will know that those things don't define you. You enjoy the trinkets of life, but you've not allowed them to distract you, to hinder you from running the race. There's no denying Paul has a big personality, is there? And when he walks in the room, he fills it. But you know, some people that are very egotistical, it's all about them. Paul might fill the room, but what comes out of his mouth is his love for Jesus and his passion for people to know Jesus and to come to faith. But I've been asking myself this week, what is it that drives you, Paul? How have you managed to keep going for so long? How have you endured 44 years? What's been the secret to keeping on, keeping on? Of course, that question I'm asking rhetorically, because actually the writer to Hebrews gives us the answer, and it's twofold. First of all, he says, we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. You know, the commentators are ambiguous about who the witnesses are. That's a posh way of saying they don't know. The witnesses could be the people around us. You know, we live in a curious world. And those of you who say you are Christians, the world is watching you. They are looking at your life. Long, long, long before any not yet Christian picks up this book and looks inside it, they look at you and they're watching your life to see whether what you say marries up to what you do. In one sense, those are the witnesses who are watching us. And that should spur us on to good deeds, spur us on to following Jesus. But of course, there's another sense. The witnesses could be, the great cloud could be those who have gone before us. The great cloud of witnesses who've been in the faith before us. Those who are now in glory wearing that eternal crown. You know, Paul, your father was one of those men. Most of you will not know George Beasley Murray, but you can pick up his books. And he inspired men and women for a generation. He ran the race with perseverance. And then the time came where he handed that baton on to the next generation, one of whom was Paul. And now the time has come, Paul, for you to hand that baton on to the next generation. Yes, to ordained people like Matt and Lisa and Martin and the rest of the team, but actually to each and every one of you. You know, in this room today, I guess, David, we're talking about 400, 500 people? 400 people. You think you've come here today to valedict Paul, to send him off on his way. Nothing is further from the truth. You've come today to once again receive your marching orders, your running orders, to run the race that has been marked out for you. This race is not complete. Paul, we've hinted at it earlier, but you don't retire from following Jesus, as you well know. The finish line is when you cross from this life into the one the Lord has for all eternity for you. And that journey is not yet done. You may be released from the responsibility of full-time pastoral ministry today, but that is so that you can be liberated to run free, like the early Romans, to run free for Jesus. That is why it's fitting that this final service is a family service, where the church is full of every generation. This is not a talk for the young people. For those of you in work and tomorrow will put on a suit, you are in the race. For those of you who have reached retirement and you have time but perhaps not the health, you are still in the race. And those of you who are so mature now that your bodies have given up and you're barely hanging on, you are still in the race until your coach and your master, Jesus Christ, calls you home. This is not about saying goodbye. This is about carrying on. If you are a follower of Jesus this morning, hear these words from Hebrews 12 again. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. You know, I asked at the beginning of this sermon, what is it that drives Paul? And it's twofold. One, it is that great cloud of witnesses here and those who've gone before us. But in fact, there is a second, and it is Christ Jesus, that eternal and irresistible call that draws us homeward and onward and ultimately heavenward. Jesus, who for the joy set before him, that's the joy of saving you and me, endured the cross. Jesus, who endured the scorn of the people in silence as he took the weight of the world upon his shoulders, which we will remember again this afternoon. And Jesus, who is now resurrected and ascended and seated at the right hand of the Father, who calls Paul and you and me to carry on the good fight, to finish the race, to keep the faith. And therefore, as the writer to the Hebrews exhorts us, I challenge you. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, Central Baptist Church. And the opponents of sinners, the opposition of sinners will be surmounted. Brothers and sisters, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus and you will not grow weary. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus and you will not lose heart. Paul, thank you for showing me and showing us how to run the race with perseverance. Thank you for keeping your eyes fixed on Jesus when so many things could have distracted you. And so may these words of St. Paul, written to a young man called Timothy, be etched across the lives of each and every one of us as we run towards that glorious finish line. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all those who have longed for his appearing. Alleluia and amen.